You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Hope you are having a good weekend. Boy, we had a great weekend last weekend. I got to give a shout out to Mark Cox, who is still on a global vacation somewhere on the planet, probably bringing countries together, country leaders together, I hope. We did get a picture of him. What was he drinking?
Guinness.
What was he drinking? A Guinness. That's right, in Sorrento.
He's in Sorrento having a Guinness.
That is Carl Middleman, our producer.
Hi.
And Carl did show up to the Big Dogs Poker Bash, so thank you. It was great to see you and your wife, although I couldn't stand up and go and hang out with you because I was playing cards.
Well, what I wanted to do was stand behind the other players and let you know what they had, but you had a bounty on you. Did someone get that bounty?
They did, of course. Out of 160 players, I popped out at about 29, I think.
Oh, that's
so
good.
It wasn't terrible, but we had a good time at Holiday and out at Six Flags. Just to give you a real quick update, I know I've been wearing everybody out about the Poker Bash stuff. It looks like we brought in about $45,000 in that one day, but if you add in the gun raffles that we did, we're at about $60,000 for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. But hey, that's with it being down 60 players. And I believe Cinco de Mayo might have had something to do with that.
They had margaritas, though.
You know, not many people were celebrating Cinco de Mayo. They rolled in a 5-gallon thing of margaritas mixed up. And Carl, you didn't drink enough because about 4 3/4 gallons rolled out of it at the end of the night.
But they did run out of Busch Light. She's like, I only got a couple of them left. So people were drinking.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. So thanks to everybody who's been putting up with me and accepting my my handout when I'm looking for donations and stuff. It was a great event. But as we roll through, I want to tell you that coming up in this show, we've got a lot for you. I don't know if you've been to a farmer's market recently, but they're all over the place. And I encourage you to go to one near you or travel to one you don't know. We're going to talk to a guy that's an organizer of a farmers and artisans market in the next segment. Also, we've got a dead carcass. We talk about deer carcass all the time on the side of the road and what to do with that. Because you drive by them, a little tear comes to your eye maybe, and you're thinking, what a waste. Well, there's a way not to waste that, and we got Bare Hands Baran. He's with Wildlife Command Center, and he's got some great advice on what to do and what deer are doing to people every year in America. It's crazy. He's got good information there, and we're going to have a visit with Jesse at Razorback Armory. But before we move on to the next segment, I do want to share with you that if you are into skeet shooting, there's a sporting clay shoot at St. Louis Trap and Skeet. This is going to happen on Friday, May 17th, 11:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. It's out in Pacific, Missouri. Would love for you to be a part of it. And we're looking for teams. All you have to do is go to the eurekachamber.org website, click on events, and it'll take you right there. But you need to pre-register so we know who's coming, so we know how much food to have and all that stuff. And we want to know who is going to be shooting against me because I got this new shotgun. I'm hoping, is Mark going to be back by the 17th?
Yes, he will be back.
He will be.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's not a visit to Dr. Green, which I'm sure he would enjoy, but maybe we could even rope you into doing this.
Possibly on the 17th.
Yeah. Have you done it?
I haven't done it since high school, so we'll see.
Well, you probably would win the whole thing.
It's like riding a bike.
It's the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Sporting Clay Shoot, eurekachamber.org. Click on events. And coming up next, more of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Stay right there. You gotta give them a hop.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews, and Mark Cox continues his vacation. But, you know, this show, we talk a lot about Second Amendment, gun rights, gun laws, gun training, all that good stuff. But we also talk about the outdoors. And when the weather breaks, even with, springtime storms, when the weather breaks, we like to get outside. And if you're a fan of farmers markets, I encourage you to go to one in your neighborhood, wherever that is. But I've got John Knowles here. He's the organizer for the farmers market. It's a farmers and artisans market of O'Fallon, Missouri. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Bo. How are you today?
I'm good. I appreciate you joining me to explain, you know, because I love going to farmers markets. A lot of people are coming in from Arkansas with their watermelons or Indiana or whatever the case is. Tell me what's special about the farmers market out in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Well, the first thing that's probably special about it is that we are on Sundays. That gives all those that work on Saturdays yet an opportunity to get out. And we are a producer-only market, which for those that are familiar with that, they realize that the farmers, you know, are growing these products. So they're going to have what's available at the time. So greens and radishes, onions, and those types of things are ready early now, like spinach and kale chard.
Oh, yeah, coming in hard.
But with the weather being damp and having some warmer temperatures, I'm sure cucumbers and some other items, probably broccoli, cauliflower, will be shortly behind. So we're excited for that. But we do host local honey. We have local beef. We have pork, chicken, eggs. We have all those basics. But what we really have is we have a whole family of really unique vendors. So we're extremely proud about that.
Well, and you're also a vendor, right, John? You and your family have a booth out there as well. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Yes, our farm is Seven Cedars Farm, and we've been doing farmers markets for almost 17 years now.
Wow.
And, of course, we've changed it up a little bit as we go because it's all about the sustainability factor. So as I get older, I'm kind of retiring, unfortunately, from the produce. But my bride makes lovely floral arrangements and some of the best jelly around. And my granddaughters will add the dream catchers and the bath salts at times. So you just never know what's going to pop up at the Seven Cedars booth.
John Knowles is the organizer for the Farmers and Artisans Market of O'Fallon, Missouri, and really glad to have him on here. Because if you're hearing this show after, after 1 o'clock on Mother's Day, which is the 12th, not to worry, they are going to be running this farmers market every Sunday all the way through, what is it, John?
October the 27th.
So you are busy. Now, do you have anybody from the Amish community come out and sell at your place?
We have a vendor that raises mushrooms, and he has some connection with the Amish a bit.
Wonderful.
And so we do have a slight connection there, which does help early on.
Oh, yeah.
For those that are looking maybe for a tomato or so. but again, I believe we have one of the best sweet corn growers in the area, and they come from Defiance. That's Modiker Farms, a very, very good outfit. But we had opening day, May the 5th. It was wonderful, excellent turnout. We have Monica Adams with us this coming Mother's Day. And I have somebody that you'll recognize as well coming on the 19th. So those that are hearing this now, we have the county library along with a whole raft of local authors.
Oh, wow.
And one of those includes Rich Gould.
Oh, I love that guy. He's hilarious.
Oh, I'm telling you, he's hysterical, and he does love to talk and communicate. So yeah. You guys can come out and meet Rich. He'll be there, and I believe his lovely wife. And he'll have his new book. I believe it's called There's a Snake Down There. So I'll let your imagination run wild with that.
There you go. There you go. Well, I appreciate the time talking about the Farmers and Artisans Market of O'Fallon, Missouri. About how many vendors do you have? Because a lot of people may, you know, go to their local farmers market on Saturdays, because they're primarily on Saturdays. But yours is on Sunday every weekend through October. About how many vendors show up, do you think?
We're running close to 50 vendors. Sometimes we run a little heavy. Sometimes it might be just a little under. But we have 100 vendors on our roster currently. So that makes the face of the market look a little different each week.
Sure, that's exciting.
So that kind of helps out.
Yeah, right. That's great. You know, when people are, you know, walking through in their shop, and let's say for their produce, would you say that the prices... And now, again, when it's farmer-grown and you know who grew the vegetables or the produce, it's worth whatever the cost is. But do they compare to grocery store pricing? Of course, you know, footnote, you don't know where those came from necessarily unless it's on the package.
Well, exactly.
But do the prices, are they comparable, do you think?
I feel like for the freshness, because I know for a fact that when we were doing produce, we were literally in the field at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, picking that to
right.
have that day.
Yeah.
It's not going to get any fresher. And so, yes, I feel like it's pretty comparable overall. I did walk through our market kind of looking, and I was extremely pleased again with the variety, the showmanship of our vendors, and the product overall. So good.
That's great. Well, 24 O'Fallon Square is where it happens every Sunday from 9 to 1. It's the Farmers and Artisans Market of O'Fallon, Missouri. You can find that on Facebook for more information. But like I said, if you're nowhere near O'Fallon, Missouri, and you're hearing my voice right now, just go support your local farmer or your local farmers market. But this one is a farmers and artisans market, so there's definitely some good shopping to be had. And John, we really appreciate your time and explaining. I hope it's a great year for the farmers. We definitely need, and the artisans too, but we definitely need people to support mom and pop businesses, which you absolutely are.
Oh, yes. Well, we appreciate that, Bo. And I might, if I have a second, I want to add that this year we have some really fine food at our market. One of our full season food preparers is called E&I Hibachi. So if you like a little entertainment while you watch the cooking going on, rice, fresh veggies, beef and chicken, and they make a whole array of dishes right there before you. So that's really good.
That's fantastic.
And we have Native American and the Wolfpack snacks, so you can get street tacos. And we also have KB cones, which is more of a unique, your pizza comes in a cone, your dessert, or even breakfast cones.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Biscuits and gravy and scrambled eggs and sausage. So, yeah.
If you go away hungry, it's your own dang fault, right?
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right, John, thank you so much. Again, you can look him up at FAMO Fallon on Facebook. That's the Farmers and Artisans Market of O'Fallon, Missouri. But again, support your local farmers market wherever it is. But this one happens to be on Sundays from 9 to 1. John, thank you for being on the show with us this week.
Well, thank you, Bo. I certainly appreciate it.
All right, we're going to switch gears here. We're going to go from a wonderful Sunday afternoon at a farmers and artisan flea market to roadkill. Something we talk about a lot, especially during deer hunting season, but really any time of the year, is when you are driving down the road and you see a, you know, dead deer on the side of the road and what to do with it, or really any animal. And I had a chance to meet Michael Baran, Michael Bare Hands Baran from the Wildlife Command Center. And in Jefferson County, he's the guy that goes out and removes nuisance animals. You got a you know, raccoon in your attic or a squirrel in your garage or something, and you don't want to deal with it, or a snake. That's the guy to go to. Well, one of the parts of the conversation that I had with him, he explained how he can utilize that animal or roadkill meat that's left on the side of the road and how to get it reported so he and his crew can come and gather it up and put it to good use. But he had some great information. So the next voice you hear is Michael Bare Hands Baran to explain a whole lot of knowledge about roadkill. Take it away, Michael.
The number one killer of humans in North America is the white-tailed deer. The white-tailed deer kills more humans in North America than any other animal.
My goodness.
And it's because of car impacts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, People hit a deer, they run off the road, they kill, they run into the oncoming traffic, they get killed. And so the white-tailed deer is responsible, not to mention the ticks and tick-borne illnesses from white-tailed deer affect a lot of people. And see, they don't cite the deer, they cite the tick
sure.
for the death. However, the tick came from the deer. And we've got a ton of them, man. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes I pick up a roadkill deer in the summer and that thing is moving. And I'm like, I know you're not alive, but it's moving because it has so many ticks on it. We actually carry pesticide just to protect ourselves, you know, from the ticks on there. But in Jefferson County, we have the contract to pick up dead animals on the side of the road. And if there's a dead animal and it's on a Jefferson County maintained highway or road, then you call into the Jefferson County Streets and Transportation.
Department of Transportation, is it?
Department of Transportation. Yeah, Jefferson County Department of Transportation. They report it, and then they'll write up a work order and send it to us, and then we'll dispatch a technician to go pick it up.
And does that happen pretty rapidly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We actually, our contract says it has to happen within 24 hours.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Now we want to get it as soon as possible because we don't like handling maggot soup, and especially when the temperatures get warmer. You know, the maggots get into them quick, and maggots can eat a deer carcass down nothing real fast.
And Dave Murray, just interviewed him on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors recently, and he said this summer is going to be blazing hot.
Oh.
So it's going to be even that much quicker.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to that. Not.
So when you go and get one of these that's not too far gone, let's say, mm-hmm. you have a purpose for them.
Oh, yeah. So we believe in recycle, reuse, repurpose. In the wintertime, I make roadkill jerky.
For human consumption?
For Michael consumption. I don't know if the rest of the humans want to participate in it. Certain creatures we will reuse for, you know, the birds of prey, the carnivores that we have, you know.
Right.
It all just depends on the Missouri Department of Conservation. So even though we have a contract, we have to call in to get a special use permit to be able to recycle, reuse that particular animal. And they're really good about it too, because they don't want things to go to waste.
How long would a one deer roadkill last you feeding your animals?
Almost a week. And so when we get the special permit, we actually skin the deer out, tan the hide, use it for cosplay. If it's got antlers on it, we'll use the antlers for the dog toys. You know, we cut the feet and legs off for dog toys, and then we process all of it except for the internal organs,
which
we throw all that stuff away.
Right.
We actually freeze all of our carcasses that we get and any waste, we freeze that. And then once a day, the company comes out and they pick up the dumpster. We double bag everything, put it in there, and they take it to the landfill.
A lot of great information there. And again, if it's reported soon enough, no matter what county you're in, just contact your county government and let them know that you saw roadkill. The sooner that that happens, the sooner it's removed, so you don't have to see that unsightly thing anymore. But more importantly, it could be put to good use when it comes to feeding raptors or other carnivorous animals that are in captivity, like at the Wildlife Command Center. So good information there. We've got more of Second Amendment Radio coming up. We're going to take a little field trip out to Razorback Armory coming up. Stay right there. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and this entire segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road. First off, I have to tell you, I'm kind of on a field trip. I'm in the back room where nobody gets to see, and it's a great honor. But I wanted to come by and say thank you, first of all, for the Glock donation for the Poker Bash. We raised a lot of money on Sunday last week, and Razorback was always stepping up, and you actually leveled up this year with the Glock, so thank you, Jesse, for that.
No problem.
So, to let people understand, you're not a sporting goods store. You don't sell canoes, kayaks, anything like that.
No.
You are all about firearms.
Yes.
And accessories and ammunition. If you've got issues finding ammunition, we should call you, right?
We can try, yeah. If it's something that's available and we can order it, especially if it's odd, we'll try to order it.
Yeah.
And if we've got vendors that have it, try to source that, yes.
Yeah, okay. So when somebody walks in here, they see the cans, as you call them, the silencers, the suppressors in the cabinet. We've got great news for anybody that's thinking about suppressing a firearm. Tell us what the development has been in the last couple of weeks regarding just that.
So with suppression, a lot of people are making a lot of noise. There are some very fast approval times. They are individual or single shot trust. It is not a guarantee. I've got people, it's probably 6-10% that are actually going through fast, but the rest of them are going through right now in about 4.5 to 5 months. So it's getting much better than it has been. It's definitely scaling down as
right.
far as time.
But when I got my first one, it was like 9-10 months.
Yeah. So no, we are definitely trending in the right direction. They are doing some fast, what we call fast track approvals. There's some congressional inquiries going into them as far as what they're doing about their job. Why does it take them so long? So they are trying to skew the averages. If I approve something in 2 days to 2 weeks, it kind of erases a 12-month. Gets my average right back down to about 6 months, right?
I like it, yep.
So they're skewing their averages down to basically kind of justify their job.
In that same lesson, I believe that the DOJ is not reporting to the FBI some crimes. So crime's down 500%.
Exactly. You know, that's how you get your crime reporting down, is you don't report it.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk about guns. Mm-hmm. On the wall, you are a specific kind of dealer that can offer automatic firearms?
Yeah, so with our FFL and our SOT, so we can sell you a suppressor, short barrel rifle, short barrel shotgun, fully automatic weapon, and what's called an AOW or an any other weapon. That's kind of a catch-all category of NFA regulated items.
And how have you been seeing a lot of new faces come in here recently?
Yeah, it's suppressor sales are up. I couldn't even percentage it. Probably 400-500%. I mean, we're and they're all these are obviously some guys I've seen before in the past because we've always got our regular customers, but a lot of them are first time buyers. They don't have a lot of experience with NFA. They basically, I want a suppressor and I can get it now,
sure, you know,
kind
sure.
of thing. So we're walking them through it, trying to educate them, let them know how the process works, what's going on, you know, the pros and cons of different registration types, just trying to, and then having that conversation with them. Like we try to do is, you know, I want a suppressor. Okay. Well, what do you want to suppress? And is it going to meet expectation? Is what they think in their mind going to actually be reality when they get to the range,
right.
And trying to make that happen and work for them.
And it wasn't for me because I bought a can for a 22,
yep.
And when I got it, I put the suppressor on. I was like, hey, I can still hear it.
But your ears weren't ringing.
But my ears weren't ringing.
That's right.
But then you introduced me to subsonic ammo.
Correct.
And
yeah.
That changed the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, it's something anytime I'm around you, Jess, I learn something. Maybe it's your age. Wisdom comes with age. On a serious note, though, yeah. The firearms that you carry, handguns, rifles, short-barreled rifles, you really do have a great selection here. Now, is there a supply chain issue on the cans that you're trying to get in?
So right now, most everything we're selling is to back order because throughout the nation, everyone's buying.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sales curve is way outdoing the supply.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and this entire segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road. First off, I have to tell you, I'm kind of on a field trip. I'm in the back room where nobody gets to see, and it's a great honor. But I wanted to come by and say thank you, first of all, for the Glock donation for the Poker Bash. We raised a lot of money on Sunday last week. And Razorback was always stepping up, and you actually leveled up this year with the Glock. So thank you, Jesse, for that.
No problem.
So, to let people understand, you're not a sporting goods store. You don't sell canoes, kayaks, anything like that.
No.
You are all about firearms.
Yes.
And accessories and ammunition. If you've got issues finding ammunition, we should call you, right?
We can try, yeah. If it's something that's available, we can order it. Especially if it's odd, we'll try to order it.
Yeah.
If we've got vendors that have it, try to source that, yes.
Yeah, okay. So when somebody walks in here, they see the cans, as you call them, the silencers, the suppressors in the cabinet. We've got great news for anybody that's thinking about suppressing a firearm. Tell us what the development has been in the last couple of weeks regarding just that.
So with suppression, a lot of people are making a lot of noise. There are some very fast approval times. They are individual or single shot trust. It is not a guarantee. I've got people, it's probably 6-10% that are actually going through fast, but the rest of them are going through right now in about 4.5 to 5 months. So it's getting much better than it has been. It's definitely scaling down. As
right.
far as time
but months, when yeah. I got my first one, mm-hmm. it was like 9-10
oh,
months.
Yeah. So no, we are definitely trending in the right direction. They are doing some fast, what we really call fast track approvals. There's some congressional inquiries going into them as far as what they're doing about their job. Why does it take them so long? So they are trying to skew the averages. If I approve something in 2 days to 2 weeks, it kind of erases a 12-month. Gets my average right back down to about 6 months, right?
I like it, yep.
So they're skewing their averages down to basically kind of justify their job.
In that same lesson, I believe that the DOJ is not reporting to the FBI some crimes. So crime is down 500%.
Exactly. You know, that's how you get your crime reporting down, is you don't report it.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk about guns. Mm-hmm. On the wall, you are a specific kind of dealer that can offer automatic firearms?
Yeah, so with our FFL and our SOT, so we can sell you a suppressor, short barrel rifle, short barrel shotgun, fully automatic weapon, and what's called an AOW or an any other weapon. That's kind of a catch-all category of NFA regulated items.
And how have you been seeing a lot of new faces come in here recently?
Yeah, it's suppressor sales are up. I couldn't even percentage it. Probably 400 or 500%. I mean, we're and they're all these are obviously some guys I've seen before in the past because we've always got our regular customers, but a lot of them are first-time buyers. They don't have a lot of experience with NFA. They basically, I want a suppressor and I can get it now.
Sure, you
know, kind
sure.
of thing. So we're walking them through it, trying to educate them, let them know how the process works, what's going on, you know, the pros and cons of different registration types, just trying to, and then having that conversation with them. Like we try to do is, you know, I want a suppressor. Okay. Well, what do you want to suppress? And is it going to meet expectation? Is what they think in their mind going to actually be reality when they get to the range,
right.
And trying to make that happen and work for them.
And it wasn't for me because I bought a can for a 22.
Yep.
And when I got it, I put the suppressor on. I was like, hey, I can still hear it.
But your ears weren't ringing.
But my ears weren't ringing.
That's right.
But then you introduced me to subsonic ammo.
Correct.
And
yeah.
That changed the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, it's something. Anytime I'm around you, Jess, I learn something. Maybe it's your age. Wisdom comes with age. On a serious note, though, the firearms that you carry, handguns, rifles, short-barreled rifles, you really do have a great selection here. Now, is there a supply chain issue on the cans that you're trying to get in?
So right now, most everything we're selling is to back order because throughout the nation, everyone's buying.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sales curve is way outdoing the supply curve.
Come in now.
But the other thing too, you're making this suppressor is going to outlive you. Okay,
right,
this piece
right.
of metal is going to be on this planet longer than you are. So you want to make an informed decision, not a knee jerk decision. It's not something you can easily get rid of. So you want to make sure that what you're buying is going to suit your needs. It's going to shoot kind of I bought a can because it was available. Does it fit your gun? I have no idea.
Right.
No, you want to buy something that's going to fit on your gun. It's going to work. It's going to do the suppression the way you want it to. It's going to perform the way you want it to. So, you know, if you got to buy something that's on back order, then do that.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at a 2-minute answer for a lifetime of use.
Right,
so
right.
Make sure you get what you want. Make sure it's going to work for you and it fits that bill. Yeah.
So you said a couple of times ago I was in here and you mentioned that if you don't have to, you never shoot an AR without a can.
Very rarely, yes.
Ear protection is one thing. Mm-hmm. But tell us about some other benefits of suppressing a firearm, a handgun or a long rifle.
Yeah. So when you suppress a firearm, so if your projectile can be subsonic, which is what you mentioned with that 22,
yeah.
If the projectile stays under 1,050 foot a second, okay, it bends the atmosphere, it doesn't break it. That's that crack or that sonic pop. So if we stay slower than that, then it's just the mitigation of the air burst that's leaving the barrel, goes through the can. It's called roll turbulation. We capture the gases, we cool them down, and then we release them without impeding the projectile.
And they go forward out of the firearm.
Yeah, so it also directs that sound percussion, everything forward. It stops that rearward sound wave travel that hits your eardrum. So.
Yeah.
And even if you have a sonic round, let's say an AR, which is going to pop sonic, right? It's not sub. It's still pleasant because you're not kind of getting smacked in the face every time you pull a trigger. We push all that forward. It's still going to be loud. Your ears won't ring. Now, this also has to do, like, if you're indoors, if you're like an indoor range, it's not going to do any good because the guy next to you is shooting a cannon.
Right.
You got to wear hearing protection. You got to have all that protection with you. But if you're outside and you're away from solid surface, so if you're around a lot of solid surface or concrete embankment or something, you're going to get some sound bounce back to you, which is going to make it louder. But if you're out open field or your own controlled environment where you can shoot, it's so much more pleasant, especially getting people into the shooting sports that. You know, the most anxiety is from the gun going off.
It absolutely is.
So it tames that to get some. It gets them that much further down the road and more comfortable with the gun shooting.
Right, yeah. And knowing what to expect in a real life situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So about a month and a half ago, I brought in my M&P 1522. It's a little 22 AR style. Oh, before mm-hmm. I get to that, is there 223 or 5.56 subsonic ammo?
So there is a company that makes it, but essentially what you're doing is you are making 22LR.
Oh, okay.
So because you're dumbing down or you're taking the powder down. Now, your AR is designed to cycle at high pressure, and you're taking it to super low pressure, so it won't cycle. It'll become like a bolt gun. You're going to have to rack it every time.
Yep.
It's also hellishly dirty. So okay. you're
on the 223.556.
Yeah, because the powder burns way off.
Okay, well so, that segues right into my M&P 1522. Loved it out of the box. It was great. It ran good, and then all of a sudden it started jamming like every other shot. I was like, "What's going on here? This is ridiculous. What did I do?" So what did I do? I brought it to you, which in the umbrella of what you do here, you can restore firearms. If you got granddaddy's old shotgun or whatever you want to get fixed up, 30-06, you do that here, but you have another category that you do.
So restoration projects. Yes. Something's really messed up and needs to be restored. We also do preservation. So if you do have granddad's old gun or something, you don't want to restore it because you're going to kill the value of it,
okay. But
you don't want it to get any worse. So the preservation services will go in, clean it mechanically, scrub everything down, do all that, but put a light film of an oil on it when we're done so that we're going to preserve. It's not going to get any worse. It's not going to get any more wear or anything to it so that we can kind of just freeze time on that gun.
Have you ever had a situation where you weren't able to make it fire, make a firearm fire again? Like it was too far gone?
Yeah, there are some stuff that, well, and really, the honest answer to that is you end up buying another gun as a donor and
right.
you use everything on that gun. So you pretty much, you're using the frame of the other gun.
Okay.
Is it worth it to the person? You don't know. You have to. We just explain it to them, and they make that decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Grandpa's calluses wore into this wood.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wanted to do that. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about my M&P 1522.
Sure.
And what you do. If you can go back, because it's been a little bit since I picked it up.
Yeah. It was. So
good gun.
Good gun. Rim fires dirty. And it gets in those crevices and cracks. Also, when it dry fires, because it's exactly that, the striker or the actual, it's not like a firing pin, but it hits the rim of the case. Well, if it dry fires, it hits the rim of the actual chamber itself.
Oh boy.
We call it egging. It actually flattens it down. So you know how an egg's got like a flatter side and a dome
sure.
side? It'll do that flat side of the egg, which can cause drag. So when that shell's trying to get pulled out, it's causing some drag. So it'll leave it in the chamber. There's a device we call a chamber swage. We can re-swage that back to round, clean the chamber, make sure the infeed, you know, the ramp and everything that's feeding the ammo in is as clean as it can be. Clean your bore.
So specifically
clean the mechanism.
Yours need
to be swaged, and we needed to clean the actual mechanism for firing, because it's not in an AR. It's a BCG. This is a bolt device, but it was pretty gummy and just had some sharp edges on it just from use. And those little ones that get kind of, they don't come out and they get stoved up in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that little piece of brass gets in there and shaves off, and we need to get all that out.
Oh, it was terrible. Cause I had like two or three that would jam up in front of the trigger mm-hmm. mechanism.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even know how to get it out of there. But you have the tools obviously sitting right in front of me. So you brought it back to life, and now, I mean, I've only gone through like 100 rounds on it, but it is just smooth.
And it'll run the same until you get however many, 500, 1,000, you know, and it gets dirty and you get worn and you'll need to do that again.
Okay, did mention after you fixed it and returned it that there was too much oil in it. You can over-oil a gun.
Yeah, so it needs to have, usually, generally speaking, a light film of oil on everything. If there's oil dripping off or if you're getting misted with oil when the gun shoots, it is way too much oil.
Okay.
And you can over-oil because that thing has got to freely move. And if you've got a lot of oil on there, you're actually pushing oil around. You know, it's hydro moving it. It's not, you know, lubrication.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for doing that.
No problem.
I do appreciate that. So we didn't tease it, but I should have teased ahead because there's something else that you've been talking to me about the last few times that I've been in here, because I'm around guns that are worth thousands of dollars and all the cool accessories and everything. But the thing you've been talking about me most is you've been talking about doing something that I'm like, no, Jesse, no, your Razorback freaking armory.
Yeah.
Tell me what you've gotten into.
So sweeping the country right now, there is kind of a different trend for grown-ass men. So people are getting together with their buddies. We have a personal league, yes. It is Red Ryder, like you have when you're a kid, the lever-cocking BB guns. So we've got a group of guys, about there's about 20 of us, about anywhere from 6 to 10 of us at a time get together. We have a league match meet, and you shoot league.
Right.
But you have to use those old vintage guns. So it's a way to get together with your buddies. Our league meets at a friend of mine's custom warehouse. He has got a custom kitchen in it. So it's a barbecue, and it comes to have some beers, and we've got BB guns and stuff. So we're shooting that, but the leagues are forming for this reason. You can go to like an Academy Sports or something, and you can pick up a $35, $40 lever action. You can honestly get the old Red Ryder, the exact same one. You can get some different new models, but they're lever cocked BB guns, you know, and shoot at 20 feet. You shoot at a standardized target. You score the points. So you don't need a big shooting range. You could do it in your garage. Most likely, if you got 20 foot in your garage, you do it in your garage. You need a good backdrop.
That's quiet.
Which a backdrop, oh yeah, there's no noise. It's the backdrop, honestly, a lot of guys use like a moving blanket. We use a custom tarp that's used for outdoor landscaping. So it's a really heavy mill tarp. And then it actually goes down into a gutter, and that collects the BBs. So it can be kind of messy if you're indoors. You just got to know you're going to have BBs everywhere. But it's a good time. You know, honestly, it's a bunch of guys getting together.
It's a good reason.
You'd be playing cards like you guys just did, but we're shooting BB guns, and you may be ribbing your buddy pretty hard when he misses a shot or something.
Okay.
But we've gotten into the classic. I mean, the really vintage Daisy BB guns all the way through the modern stuff.
Like, when did that company start?
Oh, the 1800s.
What?
Yeah, 1890s, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, and they've moved a couple of times, but right now they're not in Arkansas. And like I said, you can buy an off-the-shelf gun. I might have some vintage guns that I've got a lot of money.
Maybe too much. Don't tell
me. It don't make you shoot any better. It's just cool to shoot that old vintage gun.
You know, this is the moment in my life when I wish I had a TV show, because we can talk about suppressors and automatic weapons and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But your face lights up when we're talking about freaking BB guns.
Yeah.
So you mentioned at the beginning of this segment that it's sweeping the nation. Like, are you hearing about people doing this?
How we kind of me and a couple buddies, we have breakfast 2-3 times a week, right? And they brought up a TikTok video of these guys shooting these BB guns that came across one of their feeds, and they're like, we could do this so much better than they can,
right
hide and watch. So we made a couple calls, and it was like, you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, fine, let's get some guys together, throw some good barbecue out there. And we started a league. So we've got we've got a group of guys going around, but there's several leagues, and a lot of them are like with they'll get together with a VFW or a 4-H group.
Sure, yeah.
And they'll shoot, but there's other leagues that guys are putting together, and it's literally 6, 8, 10 guys that meet once, twice a week in their buddy's garage or out in the yard or something. They put some targets up and shoot and score them, and they'll put them up on their Facebook page and that. Yeah.
Has anybody started like a national like league that?
Well, there actually is. There's a 5-meter league that's like a lot of rules. We don't like rules, so we kind of make them up as we go along.
I like law and order, but I don't like rules.
Exactly.
Ooh, that's a t-shirt.
So we follow some of the standard rules as far as how many feet to shoot and the type of targets for scoring. But then we come up with a lot of our own stuff. Like I'm kind of like the range guy to come up with goofy stuff. So you will do what's called a can cutter, where you take a soda or BB can and you shoot it until it's cut in half.
You meant soda or beer can?
Or beer, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or beer can, yeah. So you shoot it until it's cut in half.
Okay.
So it takes about 50-ish rounds do that. But you got to figure everyone's going. And there may be a little pile of money that gets put down, to whoever wins,
Yeah, I mean, we do that.
I mean, it's
in
not
going
to change their tax bracket,
people that do that in bowling.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Anything.
You're not going to change your tax bracket, but you got some bragging rights on that. We also do quick shoot. So quick shoot, we got 5 empty shotgun shells set out on a board on each side.
I like that.
Somebody says go.
First one to knock them all.
Drop all 5. Yeah. And there may be a, hey, Bo, I got $5, says I can do it faster than you, or something like that. And that's how we go.
Okay.
There's also some skill. There's some skill pointed games. There's some speed games. There's some, honestly, on can cutter, there's some skill there, but there's also a whole lot of luck in cutting that cannon.
But you can only use the old guns or just the old style?
Old style,
if it's brand new?
Brand new's fine.
Okay.
It's the old style. So those lever cock guns, they're only feet per second. So most of them are over 200.
Okay.
But yeah, you can get 350. 400 is kind of the top max. Anything above that, you're going to start having a lot of ricochet and more problems than you want. But most of them out of the box are in that 250, 270 to four, like they say 350, but honestly they're about 321.
Okay.
And speed's not your friend. So just because you've got the fastest gun does not make it the most accurate gun. As a matter of fact, some of the match guns run at that 280, 290.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I you should have never given me your cell phone number because I blow you up with questions all the time. Because about 6 months ago, I think it was right before Christmas, I learned about these automatic BB guns that they sell on Amazon or whatever.
You can get them.
Well, I don't know. How many rounds a second? Or how many rounds a minute?
I don't know.
100 rounds a minute or something like that?
Oh, no, they'd be faster. They're...
300 rounds a minute?
Plus seven. Okay. 600 to 700 rounds per minute. Yeah, but see, that's rounds per minute. That sounds like a ton, but your magazine, it, basically, you're going to dump that whole magazine in a couple seconds.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because you only got so much in the feed, and they're usually CO2, so there's two CO2 canisters to feed it and power. Yeah.
Okay. So
they're fun.
Those are not allowed in this competition.
No, these are more of the...
Do you own one of those?
I've had one. I've had an airsoft. Brad's got one.
Okay.
I sell everything. That's what I do for a living.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But you're excited about BB guns.
Yeah.
And how many... Okay, so when I was into bowling many years ago, I was bowling 2-3 nights a week. How many nights are you guys getting
together? No, so this is... We try to do it twice a month.
Okay.
So it's more of a casual get-together, you know, twice a month. And that's... Like I said, we probably have 20 people. We're only going to... Like, to where we're actually shooting tonight, we'll probably have 8 to 10.
Okay.
You know, people who can make it.
Yeah. So for those that want to maybe join, you know, get a group together, they should just go to social media and find out how it's done.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Grab, you know, get you a group of guys together, find a venue that you can shoot at. Literally, you know, and you can go to social media. You can look at some of these different clubs and different things. But you can set up a shooting lane to make sure it's safe for your backdrop. I mean, same principles apply, you know. Don't shoot your eye out.
Right.
But it's a lot of fun. And then, you know, we may have fillets one night, smoke, you know, pulled pork, brisket, whatever, you know. So it's kind of a dinner club, but you're shooting.
It's a social event.
Exactly.
For sure it's a social event.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which we need more of. Yeah. So you don't sell those firearms here. The BB guns.
We don't. We can, but we don't. And I do custom work and repair and all kinds of stuff on them, but yeah.
Okay. But so can, if somebody has a Daisy lever action BB gun and they are going to join a group like this, but they want to make sure it's on point, can they come to you with it?
Yeah, if they want to, they can give me a call. I'll talk to them about it. Make sure. So my only expertise is the old style and the new, up to the new Daisy Levercock. The multi-pumpers, the actual air piston guns, I don't do those. That's a whole different animal, yeah.
You don't want to give away all your secrets.
No, yeah.
Dude, your face lit up in this last 7 minutes, man. This is awesome. So, search that if you want to get your friends together. Because, I mean, people get together for a lot of things. I've been to meat shoots before.
Oh, yeah. And that's the whole thing, is just kind of getting together. You're still shooting guns. You're still having fun. There's still some skill and luck involved. But... you know, everybody's in the same thing, and it's hard to get a group of guys together to go shooting because you have to have a range.
Absolutely.
You know, and
ammo's expensive.
This is very inexpensive.
Yeah, right.
You can get into this sport under $50, easy.
Cheaper than pickleball.
Yes.
I love that.
It's kind of seasonal for sporting. For defensive shotguns, yes. For like home defense, the shorter barrel
sure,
ones.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. We sell that pretty frequently throughout the year, pretty steady.
Okay, so last year I went one time to a Sporting Clays, and on the way home I remember telling my wife, I'm like, yeah, it was fun. I sucked at it, but it was fun. I'll probably never do it again. Well, now I own a Benelli.
Yeah.
Now I've been out there a half a dozen times.
Yeah.
And getting ready to go again, actually, for the Eureka Chamber shoot.
Yeah.
Do you, if somebody wants to find a specific Benelli or whatever, can they come to you to get it?
Yes. Benelli is a dealer direct only.
Oh,
and I don't meet their qualification. I don't sell enough Benelli products.
Okay.
But for Browning, Beretta, Remington, Mossberg, anything
else,
yes.
And you have consignment ones too sometimes,
yeah,
right?
No, sometimes we do have some of them on consignment that come through. But yeah, anything with clays, you know, sporting guns, anything like that, shotguns, absolutely, we can do it.
Okay. You're the best, man. You're the best. Thanks for the visit. If for all of your shooting needs, whether it's home protection, personal protection, sports, whatever it is, RazorbackArmory.com is the website. Just come in and meet the guys. It's not a huge store. It's probably smaller than a shoe store, but
you have a lot going on here.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel honored to have this amount of time.
If they're ever in and they don't see it, have them just ask one of us. A lot of what we do is custom and special order. A lot of them, it is, you know, unique firearms to that person,
that's
not
right.
just kind of cookie cutter box store stuff. We are well beyond all that as far as what we can do. And then especially with suppression, making sure that we get them what they want, what they need.
How many years has Razorback been in business now?
Razorback Armory's been in business for like 16, 17 years. We've been in this location going on 9.
Beautiful. Congratulations on all the success. You got Kenny, Brad, your co-owner.
Yep.
And
Mike. Yep.
I always forget his name. I want to call him Super Dave Osborne, but that's a whole other story.
Yes.
Jesse, Razorback, thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Bo.
Well, there you go. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. The vacationing Mark Cox will be back next time on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Back to the Mark Cox Morning Show even sooner than that. But he gets to travel around the world. My field trips take me to De Pere. That's about it. That's all right, though. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and please share this show with anybody that you know that loves the great outdoors and supports the Second Amendment. Have a great weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.